Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For our final topical sermon in our series this summer, we turn away from the writings of the Apostle Paul and look instead to the writings of the Apostle Peter. We looked this morning in the first epistle in the third chapter, beginning at verse 18. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag is a promise. It is a promise of allegiance or faithfulness to everything that is behind the flag. In one of our post-communion prayers that we use in our liturgy, we say of those whom God has given that gift of his true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, that true body and blood is a pledge of forgiveness. And what we're saying there is that the Lord's Supper is that promise of faithfulness for the forgiveness of our sins in Holy Communion. This morning, we hear the Apostle Peter say the same thing about holy baptism. Holy baptism is God's pledge of forgiveness. Behind it, in it, is that forgiveness of our sins. In holy baptism, God promises us and pledges to us his faithfulness as our Father, as he adopts us as his children. That pledge of holy baptism that God makes is the pledge of God that we now have a good conscience toward him, because he has removed from us the guilt and the judgment of all of our sins. Holy baptism is, we can say, the fulfillment of our first lesson this morning from Isaiah, where God promises us that your soul will delight in the richest of fare. In holy baptism, our soul delights in that pledge of a good conscience that God makes to us. Because of that, holy baptism must hold a prominent place in our lives as Christians. The baptismal font has a place of prominence in our sanctuary, whether that's in the entrance when we first come into the sanctuary, or if we have it in the front, where our eyes are always upon it. And that placement really does two things. First of all, it reminds us that even though baptism was long ago for most of us and we don't actually remember it taking place, that baptism doesn't become for us just a thing of the past. And the second thing it does is it reminds people, it reminds us, that we administer holy baptism according to the command and with the same purpose for which Christ gives it. And here is where we can make reference to the Apostle Paul, whose writings and teachings we've been looking at over the past couple of weeks. Paul agrees with what Peter says about the purpose of baptism. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, We were, therefore, buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So this morning, Peter describes holy baptism as God's pledge of a good conscience. And we'll see, first of all, that baptism is God's pledge of a good conscience toward God. And secondly, that baptism grants us connection and saves us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was quite common in the early Christian church for Christians to have eight-sided baptismal fonts. And by doing that, they reminded themselves of the eight people, Noah and his wife, three sons and their wives, whom God saved from his destructive judgment by the water of the flood. That water lifted them up and saved them. And here Peter writes about that water of the flood as being symbolic of baptism. Note that Peter doesn't say that baptism is symbolic. The water of the flood is what's symbolic. Baptism saves you also, Peter says. Luther describes the meaning of holy baptism in our daily lives this way, words familiar to us. Baptism means that the old Adam in us should be drowned by daily contrition and repentance. We confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. As I said, for most of us, that was a long time ago, and we weren't old enough to remember. But our baptism is not something of the past. It's not something that was used only on that day. Each and every day of our lives, we use our baptism. That's why it's so important that we know for sure that we were baptized. And so we need to have our baptismal certificates so we know for sure that that has taken place. So any number of days ago that baptism took place, but we use it each and every day. Every day, that pledge of forgiveness, that promise of faithfulness, occurs in our lives, assuring us that we are the children of God and motivating us to live our lives as the children of God by daily drowning our old Adam, keeping his power down in our lives so that the new man can arise and lead us as our Father wants us to walk. Holy baptism saves us, Peter says, because it's not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience before God. This is not some outward washing or removal of dirt. Jesus said, it is nothing outside a man that makes him clean, makes him unclean. It is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. And what comes out of us are evil thoughts, murder, adultery, blasphemy, and all manner of sins that come from our sinful heart. So baptism is not some mere outward washing, but it is that inner washing of the power of sin in our lives. In baptism, God gives us a good conscience toward God. That's his pledge. Some mistakenly interpret Peter's words to say that baptism is really symbolic, that baptism is a response or a pledge that I decide to make to God as a commitment to him. But Peter says, holy baptism is not my pledge that I'll have a good conscience by living a Christian life, but baptism is God's pledge to me that I have a good conscience because he's forgiven all my sins. And through faith in Christ, I stand before him as though I have never sinned. No matter how I sin, no matter how often I sin, God has, through baptism, removed the power and the guilt of my sins. Daily, my holy baptism assures me that I am God's child as it forgives my sins. And daily, it empowers me and moves me to live a holy life. So, I move to live a holy life through baptism, and I'm assured of God's forgiveness when I fail every day to live a holy life. But holy baptism saves me not only because God gives me a pledge of faithfulness that he has forgiven my sins, and so I have a good conscience toward him, but it saves me because it connects me to Christ's resurrection. So Peter wrote, "It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him." I hope you noticed how similar Peter's words are here to what we confess in the second article of the Apostles' Creed, that Jesus rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God. If you've ever gone to a jeweler and bought a diamond or some other gem, how does the jeweler really make that gem's beauty and clarity and brilliance stand out? Well, doesn't he very often take out also with the gem a black cloth? And he puts that black cloth on the counter, and then he or she takes that diamond that you're going to buy for your fiancé or that anniversary gem that you're going to buy for your spouse. And by putting that gem, that diamond, on that black cloth, its brilliance and its radiance stand out even more. Well, in a sense, that's what we do with holy baptism. It's that gem, that diamond of the pledge of God's forgiveness because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that justifies us, that declares us not guilty from our sins by the sacrifice that he made for the world on the cross. And that diamond of holy baptism stands in contrast to the total blackness and darkness of my nature, my sinful, depraved nature. It stands against all the sins of which I am guilty of committing from the moment I was conceived till the moment and instant that I die. God has placed that wonderful diamond that has connected me to Christ's resurrection against my sin. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Here again, we see the wonderful work of the Trinity, Jesus' resurrection. The Father raised his Son from the dead. The Son is God, who had the power to raise himself from the dead. And Peter says the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead by giving him new life. The Holy Spirit has given us new life by the gospel, by the news of Christ that he connects to water in baptism. And connected to Jesus' resurrection, we are raised from the dead at the baptismal font. We are raised from spiritual death. We are raised from the grave in judgment day to live eternally with God. Peter directs our attention here to Jesus' exaltation in which he descended into hell. Remember that Jesus' descent into hell is not part of his humiliation. Jesus had already suffered hell on the cross. But in his exaltation, Jesus descended into hell and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. After Jesus came to life in the grave, he descended into hell to show himself alive to Satan and the other evil spirits, and to show himself alive to those people to whom he had given a time of grace, 120 years before he destroyed the world, to give them the opportunity to repent of their sins and believe in God's promise. But they didn't. And so now their souls already are in hell. Jesus didn't go and preach to them to give them some kind of a second chance, to give them another opportunity to hear God's word and be saved. This is rather the preaching of the final judgment, where all people will stand before Christ. And the unbelievers will hear Jesus declare again who he is and what he did and how they missed it. And what the result now is that they deserve because they did not believe in him as their Savior. This is very much a parallel to what is going to happen on Judgment Day, when Christ declares himself to those who did not believe in him, but shows them who he is. And they will know now who he is, but it will be too late for them to believe in him. The Holy Spirit's inspired words through Peter closely connect Jesus' resurrection to holy baptism. Jesus' resurrection saves us. And that resurrection is connected by water to the word in baptism. And that baptism connects me to Christ and to his resurrection. Baptism is not a decision I make to show God that I'm committed to him. Baptism is God's pledge of forgiveness by which he declares that he is committed to me, and that he committed himself to me by dying on the cross to pay for my sins. So, take note of the baptismal font when you enter the sanctuary, wherever we might put it, or wherever we would use it. Know the date of your baptism, because that is your birth date as a child of God. If you have a baptismal candle, or your children have a baptismal candle, on the anniversary of you or their baptism, take that out and light it. And talk about the meaning of baptism in our lives as Christians. Go through your day knowing that by your baptism, God has forgiven all the sins that you and I commit during the day. And use your holy baptism to witness that you are a child of God by living a life in accordance with his word and pleasing to his will. Holy baptism saves us because it's God's pledge of a good conscience before him. And it is the connection we have to his resurrection. Amen.